And open up, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You guys can hear me, right? We're good? All right. Well, welcome to spring. Last week we had, I don't know what that was. I was talking to Wayne. In the history of the assembly, in our 11th year, we've only canceled church twice. Ice to me is a little bit different than snow. I don't really like messing around with ice. At our house, it was basically a skating rink in my driveway in the rural road that was out in front of our house. So I don't like to cancel church, but it seemed like the prudent thing to do. You know, this assembly is a bit unique, right? Because we have people coming from all over the place. We got people coming from Lansing now, down by Kalamazoo, up in Muskegon, Holland, Zeeland, everywhere. People are coming in. This isn't like a little neighborhood church where everybody that attends here, you know, lives in the immediate neighborhood or vicinity of the church. So it's a different thing. And when we try to make decisions about things, really it's a matter of whether I think I can get here most of the time. But if you want to be frankly honest about it. But we're going to continue our series today on the book of 1 Corinthians. And we're in chapter 15. Last Sunday, when we were last together 2 weeks ago, we looked at verses 5 through 8, on the issue of the post-resurrection appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we got to verse 8, and there's an issue at the second half of verse 8 that I said that we would get to this time. So I do want to review just a little bit. It's been a few weeks since we've been together studying, and so I want to make sure we're up to speed on just a couple points here before we really get rolling with today's message. First thing is I want you to recall, look at verses 1 and 2. First chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein ye stand, by which ye are saved if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. So the first thing that I want to point out or remind you about is the following, right? Paul, in the present, when he's writing 1 Corinthians, he's reminding the Corinthians of what he had preached to them in the past. He's already preached it to them. They've already received it. They've already believed it. They have a standing in it, in verse 1. Okay? He's addressing them as brethren. They are already believers when he is writing this to them. Okay? Moreover, brethren, I declare. That's in the present tense. He's making a present tense declaration in chapter 15, verse 1, of what he's doing right now. What he's declaring unto them in this declaration is a reminder of what he preached to them in the past, the gospel which I preached unto you, and wherein ye have received. So he already preached it, they already received it, and on the basis of that, they have a standing in it now, in the present, as he's writing 1 Corinthians. Okay? By which ye are saved if you keep in memory. We talked about that condition. I'm not going to say anything else about that. Verse 3, he says, for I delivered. Past tense. So what did he do in the past? What did he preach to them in the past? What did he deliver unto them in the past? Verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also what? Received. We talked about that as well, and we'll do so more here shortly. Paul preached, Paul delivered and preached unto them what he had received. And we've already mentioned in brief that he received it by the revelation of Jesus Christ, according to Galatians chapter 1. We'll be looking at that in a little bit more detail here in a few minutes, so I'm not going to say too much more about that. Then, Paul offers the contents of what he preached. Verse 3, for I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received. Number 1, how that Christ died for our sins according to what? The Scriptures. Verse 4, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to what? The Scriptures. So what did Paul preach to them? Paul preached, number 1, the death of Christ for the forgiveness of their what? Sins. Number 2, he preached to them that not only did Christ die, but he was what? He was buried. We talked about that, right? Why does it say he was buried? He was buried to prove that he what? That he died, right? And then 3 days later, what happens? He rose from the dead. And then Paul explicitly states in verse 3 and verse 4 that all of that is according to what? The Scriptures. Okay? So Paul is going to give 2 great proofs of the resurrection of Christ. Proof number 1 is the Scriptures state it, the Scriptures teach it, the Scriptures declare that Jesus died for sin and what? Rose again. And then the second proof that he gives for the resurrection are the post-resurrection appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5. Then he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Then he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also as one, what? Born out of due time. Who was the last one to see the resurrected Christ? Paul. And we'll talk more about that in a minute too. But Paul was the last one to see him by Paul's testimony here, right? So Paul gives two proofs that Christ rose from the dead. Proof number one is that it's according to what? Scripture. The Scripture says so. Number two, the issue of the post-resurrection appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ, which, oh, by the way, are also recorded where? In Scripture, right? They're also in your Bible, right? Now, so that means the following. That means for the skeptic, it is not just the empty tomb that the skeptic must explain. It is also the post-resurrection what? Appearances. Okay? What changed many of those original apostles from cowering in fear and hiding from the authorities to being willing to die for their belief? It was the fact that they saw who? The fact that they saw Christ after His resurrection. We went over all that stuff in our previous study, right? So, where we left off last time was right there halfway through verse 8, where he says, "And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time." So Paul was the last person to whom the Lord appeared according to that verse. Okay? So if you go back to verse 5, did Peter see him? Did the 12 see him? Did these 500 witnesses see him? Okay? Did James see him? And I talked to you last time about why I think that's James, the brother of Jesus, half-brother, not James the apostle. If you want that information, you can go back and look at that study. But then he explicitly states in verse 8, "And last of all, he was seen of who?" So, Peter, the 12, the 500 unnamed witnesses that he appeared to at one time, James and so forth, they all saw him, and then who did he appear to last? Paul. That's Paul's claim. That's Paul's testimony there, right? And we can look at three passages in the book of Acts that we see that occur. First, come with me back to Acts 9. So, the Lord appears to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. If you remember, Saul had besought paperwork and so forth to go up to Damascus and to bring back Jewish believers there back and bound to Jerusalem and so forth. And then on the way, the Lord Jesus Christ appears to him on the road to Damascus. Look with me at verse 1. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." Verse 3. "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven." So is this this is an unnatural thing that's happening here. This is a supernatural event. This is an appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ here. Say more about that in a minute. Verse 4, "And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Whom art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." So let me just ask it very simply. Does Saul of Tarsus, ultimately the Apostle Paul, does he see the Lord Jesus Christ? Okay? Come with me to Acts 22. So in Acts 22 is one of the occasions where Paul is later in the book of Acts recounting the story, the experience that he had on the road to Damascus, back in chapter 9. Acts chapter 22, verse 6. Well, in verse 5 he says, "And also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished." So, is Paul telling the story of what happened in Acts 9? So historically, the event happened when? In Acts 9. In Acts 22 here, what is Paul doing? Paul is recounting, he's retelling, he's going over the story for an audience and explaining what happened to him in that event back in chapter 9. Verse 6, "And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice that what? That spake to me." So that's a second occurrence in the book of Acts. That's the first testimony that Paul gives of what happened to him. The second one is in Acts 26. Come with me to Acts 26. In Acts 26, he is before Agrippa in this context. Verse 12, he says, "Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven." Now watch what he says here. "Above the brightness of" what? You remember last summer when they had the eclipse? And like the whole summer, don't look at the eclipse. Go get the glasses. If you're going to look at the eclipse, get the glasses, right? That was, by the way, that was weird. Becky and I, we didn't really go look at it or anything, but when it happened, it got like gray and weird looking and stuff. But anyway, he says that he saw what? A light from heaven above the brightness of the sun. So imagine if you went out and go stare at the sun. No, I don't recommend it. A bright brighter than that. A light brighter than that is what he says that he saw, right? Later on, another place talks about greater than the noonday sun, right? And he says in verse 13, "Shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me, and when we were fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying, in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet." Who's talking in verse 16? Well, it's Paul telling what happened, but Paul's telling him what Christ what? Said to him at that time on the Damascus road. "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things." That would be the things that are happening to him where? Right there on the road, right? Of these things. Which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will what? So does the Lord Jesus Christ tell Paul on the road to Damascus that he's got more stuff that he's going to show him in the future? Okay? "Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee." So on that day on the road to Damascus, did the Lord Jesus Christ tell Saul of Tarsus that he was sending him to the Gentiles? Okay? Verse 18, "to open their eyes," that's the Gentiles, "and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." So, let me ask you a question. Number one, did Saul of Tarsus, did the Apostle Paul see the Lord Jesus Christ? Did the Lord Jesus Christ appear to him? Yes. Okay? Did it interrupt did it interrupt his career and send him in a new path? Did Christ say more things to Saul than what is recorded for you in chapter 9? Yes. And you get those details right here in chapter 26, where he says more about the conversation that he had with the Lord. It's a pretty one-sided conversation, but about what he was going to do and why this was occurring in Paul's life. Okay? Now, come with me to Ephesians chapter 1. I want to say, and I think it's a clear, but I just want to make sure that you understand it in a certain light. Did Peter see the resurrected Christ? Did the 12 see the resurrected Christ according to Paul's testimony in 1 Corinthians 15? Did 500 brethren at once see the Lord after His resurrection? Did James see Him? None of them saw Him like Paul did. Not one of them. They saw a resurrected Christ, correct? Peter and so forth, the 12, the 500, right? Did they see a post-resurrection Christ? What did Paul see? Paul saw a resurrected, ascended, glorified who? Christ. Okay? When Paul sees Him, and it's brighter than the noonday sun and all that, he is seeing the Lord Jesus Christ in all His resplendent glory. Okay? Now, you remember the story in the Old Testament when Moses asked God to let him see His glory, right? And He says, well, I can't let you do that, Moses, so I'll let you see my what? My backside. And what is Moses, as Moses looks at it, what does he see? He sees a ball of burning what? Light. Paul the Apostle, he sees Jesus Christ not only resurrected, he sees Him ascended and he sees Him what? Glorified. Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 20. Which He wrought in Christ. So verse 19 it says, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward, who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He what? That's the resurrection, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all power and far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and hath given Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. When Saul sees the Lord Jesus Christ, does he see a Lord Jesus Christ that is not only resurrected, but has been glorified over all things? Yes. That same Lord Jesus Christ that has been glorified over all things is now going to talk to Paul, reveal things to Paul, show Paul things that he had not talked about, not revealed, not shown anybody until he's going to show them to who? Paul. Now, come over to Philippians chapter 2 quickly. Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 9. In verses 5 through 8, we see what some theologians have called the humiliation of Christ. Him being made flesh, Him being found in the likeness of man, Him being in that humbled servanthood and becoming obedient unto the death of the cross in verse 8, but not verse 9. Wherefore, God also hath what? Highly exalted Him and given Him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Think about that testimony right there, right? When Saul of Tarsus encounters the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, does he believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Before that. In that flash moment of time, does he believe it? Absolutely, right? But before that, does he believe it? No, in fact, he hates those people. He hates those Jewish people. He hates those members of his own nation that have accepted the belief that Jesus Christ is what? The Son of God. And he's so mad at him that he's got the paperwork to arrest him and bring him what? Bring him back. And in that moment of time, who appears to him? Notice what verse 11 says, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is what? Put your hand there and come back to Acts 9. What does Paul say when he sees the Lord? Look at the verse. Acts chapter 9, verse 4. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said unto him, who's talking to me? Who are you? I don't know. Who? Show yourself. What's he say? Lord. Did Paul know who was talking to him? Was it abundantly clear? Okay? There's something in that I think you need to think about just a little bit. Would you say that that account, that occurrence, that instance in time and history was a unique one, or would you say that that's the way things normally are for most people? It's very unique, right? Thank you, David. Thank you. Appreciate that. It's very unique, right? In fact, as far as we know, it's the only time that something like that has ever what? Happened. You should be glad about that in a way. Because God dealing, what God does, if the Lord were to appear right now to the world, would everybody immediately be compelled to believe? If they saw Him. I think they would, personally. If the Lord were to come down like that and say to, you know, whoever it is, hey, what are you doing? What do you think they would say? Well, or would they say, okay, Lord. What God has done is He's left us in a situation and in an environment where we have the right to choose whether we're going to trust Christ. Right? We have the free will. We have the will to decide if we're going to choose to believe that Christ died for our sins and that He rose again the third day, right? And God has not done it in such a way that He's going to compel us to believe. He's left us with what? The choice. But does God have something particular in mind to do with Saul of Tarsus? Go back to 1 Corinthians 15. So verse 8 again. He says, and last of all he was seen of me as one born out of what? Due time. So there's something unique and distinct about Christ appearing to Paul last. So it's been a while, but some years ago my wife was pregnant. Okay? When a woman gets pregnant, what does everybody want to know? Well, maybe boy or girl, okay, I'll give you that. But they want to know the due what? The due date. Right? Well, when they ask that, what do they want to know? They want to know when is the appointed time that this baby's going to what? Because there's a natural cycle, there's a natural course to life, right? Generally takes 9 months. If somebody's asking when is the due date, they want to know when is it, when are things going to be ready for this baby to what? To be born, right? Now think about that terminology, okay? If a baby arrives early, before the due date, it is often said that that baby is what? Premature, right? If the baby is late and arrives late past the mom's due date, besides her being real upset about it,